2 Timothy chapter number 4. Let's go ahead and stand and we'll read just a few verses here. It's good to see everybody tonight. And this is going to be, are you like me when you hear preachers say that he is going to be encouraging tonight? You kind of look at that a little skeptically at this point. Yeah, we'll see when the message is done, whether it's encouraging or not encouraging. Because preachers' encouraging messages sometimes can be encouraging like you encourage a cow with a cattle prod, encouraging, right? That's how it feels like to me sometimes, at least, when he's yelling, I'm trying to be encouraging to you, you know, and you're going, okay, don't encourage me so much, preacher. That's enough. Like that verse that says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And this, the preacher said, or somebody once said, Lord, please don't love me so much. All right, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. This is going to be one of those messages that is encouraging, but difficult to get. Some of you are going to disagree with me about this message. I'm going to say that right out front. Some of you are going to disagree with me about this message. Hopefully by the end of the message, you won't. So give me some time to get through this, and give me some time to get here, because when you first hear it, you may disagree with it. But as you see, I'm going to lay out what the Bible says on it, and hopefully it'll be encouraging to you and say, okay, I get it. I see where the Bible is on this. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, look at verse number 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Brother Brad Gross, would you open us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you. You may be seated now. The judgment seat of Christ is the one that we all as Christians should be worried about. Now, if you never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to stand before God. If you don't get saved before you die, you're going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment. And you'll be judged out of the books based on if your name is in the book of life or not, and based on your works. And that's not the type of judgment that you want to end up at. But if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've received the Lord, you're saved, you're a Christian here tonight, you're going to stand before the judge, what the Bible calls the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says that, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. And you're going to hear about this judgment in this church quite a bit. Because although you'll see several judgments in the Bible, this is the one that you as a Christian are going to face, and I as a Christian am going to face. So you're going to hear preacher preach about this over and over and over again. One of the things I've heard him say more than anything else in this church possibly is to make every decision in your life in light of this judgment seat of Christ. Amen? So now, this is something that we all think about. Now, recently, though, he has preached quite a bit about how we should not be living in fear of this judgment, but serving the Lord out of love and serving the Lord out of gratitude. And this is a difficult thing to take. And what he preached about a week and a half ago was extremely important for us to get. And what Brother Woodard preached and taught in the Bible study here is extremely important for us as Christians to get. And that is to understand that God is not waiting to punish us at the judgment seat of Christ. And God is not a God that is looking forward to us getting up there and having nothing and burning up everything at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, what this means is, now if you're not that familiar with it, maybe you're a little newer here, when you get to heaven, all the works that you did in this body are going to be put before Jesus Christ. And if they're good and you did them for Jesus Christ, then they will remain and you'll be rewarded for those good works. You will not go to heaven based on your works, but you will be rewarded based on your works. If you did not do anything for Jesus Christ, if you lived for yourself this whole time, then all your works that you lived in this life will be burned up. You'll have your reward of living this life for yourself, and you will have no rewards in heaven. The Bible says you will still be saved, yet so as by fire. That is, you will not go to hell for not doing anything for Jesus Christ, but you will not get any rewards in heaven for not doing anything for Jesus Christ. So are we all with me so far there? That's the quick background. I think on a Wednesday night here, most of you all know that, and I don't have to go into that, and that's all review for most of you, I think. But here's where the problem lies for us, and we have been guilty of this in the past. I have been guilty of this in the past, and preacher is trying to straighten me out, trying to straighten us out in this. But tell you, just answer me this: Have you heard yourself or someone close to you say this? When I get to the judgment seat of Christ, I'll just be happy if I can get just a little Jim. I'll be surprised if I get anything at the judgment seat of Christ. Have you ever felt that way? Felt like when I get now, hear me now. This is important. Have you ever felt like I don't know if I'll get anything at the judgment seat of Christ at all? And I will be thankful if that fire burns up. I'll be surprised and thankful if there's just a little gem that I can grab out of there and give back to the Lord. Right?
Amen.
Now, that is absolutely going to be true for many Christians. It is absolutely true that there will be Christians who are at the judgment seat of Christ and they are in tears and they regret having lived their whole lives for themselves. Because now they'll see eternity before them and they'll see their Savior before them and they'll see, I could have done something for Him who died for me. I could have done something. I could have suffered. I could have given. I could have acted. I could have served the Lord. But I lived my life for myself. And now I'm naked and ashamed with nothing to show for my entire life except a selfish life when I stand before God. That will absolutely be the case for many, many multitudes of Christians. But I don't want you to think that that will be the case for every Christian. It's just not going to be the case for some Christians. And we have, and I'll tell you, it's usually the ones who are living for themselves and think everything is going to be perfect when I get to heaven. I can't wait to get there. I'm going to get my golf clubs. I'm going to go out on the golf course. Everything's going to be wonderful. Man, I've done so much for God. He's going to give me all those rewards. Those are usually the Christians who are going to get nothing at the judgment seat of Christ. They're the ones that are living for themselves. And it's usually the ones who are living for God and who are struggling with their sin and with conviction, struggling with the Holy Spirit, trying to live right for God, that will be guilty of saying, I'm not going to get anything when I get there. Are you following me or am I not connected here? Okay, so usually, now if you're sitting in here saying, oh, man, I'm great, I'm going to do fine when I get there, then you may need to check up with this. This is what Brother Woodard said in the Bible study. He said, we as preachers are supposed to comfort the afflicted, and we're supposed to afflict the comfortable. So if you're comfortable in here tonight, this message is not for you. But if you look at the judgment seat of Christ with affliction, and you look back on your life and you say, I don't know, I just don't see, and I see all of the acts that I've done in my life, I see the sin in them, I see the selfishness, I see this, I see that, and we're so hypercritical and judgmental of all of our works that we think we're going to get there and just have nothing to show for it. This message is for you tonight, because that is not true. I told you were going to disagree with me at the beginning of this message, because it feels like it's true, doesn't it? And if it feels like it's true for you, I'll say this is, please hear me out to the end of this message. I'm going to go through the Bible, and I will just preach the Bible to you here tonight. But to say we ought to be able to look back on our life and take stock in our works up till now. I'm 40 years old. I just turned 40 this last year. I ought to be able to look back on my 30s. And take stock of my 30s, and look at what I've done for the Lord, and yes, have regret over all the times that I've failed the Lord, but I ought to have some type of encouragement from it, and think to myself, I have some type of rewards to show for it. I ought not to be looking back at the last decade of my life and saying, well, that's all going to burn up, I hope I get a little piece of glitter to give to the Lord, a little gold fleck to give to the Lord. No, I ought to be able to look back at it and say, I've got something to give to God. I've got something to glorify Jesus Christ with. I've got something to cast at His feet. And you say, well, I know it sounds proud, and I'm going to deal with that, and that's not what I'm talking about. I know all the issues with that, and we're going to deal with all those things. But I'm going to show you tonight what it is, what it should be, how our look back should be, how our look back should not be, and why it's so important that we have the correct look when we're looking backwards in our life. You know, you get to points, and there are points when you just naturally look back, and then you turn this way and you look forward. I think the decades of 30, I remember when I was 30, and I had a dream that it wasn't like a vision, it was just a dream. I ate too much pizza that night or something. I had a dream that the Lord took a book of my 20s and put it on a bookshelf. I remember the dream like it was yesterday. And said, that's it. You can't go back to 25 years old. What you've done in your 20s is done. It's in the books, so to speak. It's on the shelf. And that scared me to death when I had that. I woke up in a cold sweat. And I remember that dream to this day. Because the finality of that, I can't go back to my 20s. At this point, I can't go back to my 30s. And I haven't had that dream again, thank the Lord, but it's true that the book of my 30s is on the shelf. And I can't go back to it. But I ought to be able to look back on it with some type of, and see some type of value in the past 10 years of my service and my walk with the Lord. And look back and take some encouragement from that. Now, y'all look at me standing up here preaching, and you say, amen, Brother Sam, you ought to be able to take encouragement from the last 10 years of your life. That's easy for you to say about me. But turn that around on yourself. Can you look back on the last 10 years of your life and say the same thing? Or you say, well, Brother Sam, you know, you get up there and preach, and but me, I'm going to get nothing. You see what I mean? It's easy in this case to look at somebody else and say, well, I see what the preacher does. I see what Mrs. Peacock does. I see what Brother Brad does. Surely they're going to get, but not me. And I'm telling you, this is the wrong way to think about it, and it's important. This is not just some feel-good message. I'm not preaching Joel Osteen stuff here tonight. Right. This is important to your Christian life. I'll tell you why it's important. I'll go ahead and jump ahead a little bit and tell you why. Don't worry, I'm going to come back to it so you don't lose any sermon. So anyway, John Wesley had a serious problem in his life with his salvation for a long time. He tried to work his way towards salvation. He thought he had to be perfect in order to be saved. And it wasn't until he had been preaching the gospel for years and years and years that he finally realized that Jesus Christ saved him by faith and not by works. And he gave up all his works and said, I'm going to trust Jesus Christ by faith. But you know how much it affects somebody who's trying to get saved by works? You know how much it messes with your whole life when you're trying to get saved by works? Folks, it will mess with your Christian life if you think that you are working for God and have nothing to show for it. In the same way it messed up John Wesley, it will mess you up if you think you've spent years and years and years doing your best for the Lord, but you're not going to get rewarded for that for some reason. And you've got, you know, it's all going to get burned up. I hope to be able to just have a cabin on the back of the woods, hopefully, God. It will mess up your Christian life. So I'm going to show you why that's true tonight, why it's important. You ought to be able to take stock and know the value of the work that you have for Jesus Christ. Looking around and I'm wondering, are y'all tired? Maybe I should just get to why it's important. No, I'm not going to do that. All right. Amen. All right. Listen. One of the greatest shows, long-running shows on television is Antiques Roadshow. It's a fantastic show. It's the same thing every single time. Somebody comes in, they think they have something that's really valuable, and it turns out to be worthless. And everybody laughs. Oh, man, that was great. Brother Warder, can we get a little more air, please? I don't know, everybody's not cold yet, or everybody's not hot yet, but I'm already hot. So they go in, they find out something's worthless that's not that they think is worthwhile. But the best one is when they go in, they say, I have something, and I think it's worth $10. And it ends up being worth $50,000, you know? And you see just the look of shock on their face when they have something so valuable that they didn't know was that valuable. But think about what usually happens is, and there was this time on Antiques Roadshow when someone brought in a brooch that they had bought at a garage sale. And this brooch was just shoved in a drawer at their house. And they brought it in. They said, could you just tell me what this is? I think it's costume jewelry. But can you tell me if it has any kind of antique value or whatever? They said, this isn't costume jewelry. This is actual diamonds, gems. It's worth $38,000 to $55,000. And they had it thrown in a drawer at their house. You know what everybody says when they say that? Oh, I'm going to put that in my safe. Right? You see, because if you do not understand the value of what you've got, you will not treat it properly. You won't protect it like you ought to. If you don't understand what you've got to be able to take stock in it. So what is it? Look back at 2 Timothy chapter 4, and let's dig into this here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We have to be, now, there are lots of different things we could look back in our Christian life and take stock in and say, this is valuable, this is not valuable, all those. But there are a few big benchmarks that Paul says here that you can consider and say, okay, I see, I may have something of value. I may have some rewards there because of this. You got to be able to take stock in this. And I'll go through this real quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse number 7. It says, I fought the good fight. First of all, I want you to consider how you've struggled for the Lord. I want to consider the fight that you've had. I want you to look back. You say, well, this is Paul at the end of his life. Right, it's Paul at the end of his life. But you know what's so strange about this passage? And this is the first thing, the first salvo to those of you who think that I'm wrong in saying this. Look at this. Look at verse number 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, some of y'all think that that Paul's wrong for saying that. How could you possibly even say that you have a crown? You don't know if you got a crown or not. Or you'll say, well, that's Paul, Brother Sam. That's not us. That's Paul. Of course, he's got a crown, but I've got gold dust. No, Paul is our pattern. Why is it that we say Paul can say that, but I can't say that? Paul can make a definitive statement and say, I'm looking back on my life and could say, I have a crown laid up for me. And this is not a gimme crown. This is something that you have to earn. And Paul said, I earned it. I got this. Now, I'll tell you all the things, the caveats to this. So don't jump too far ahead of me. But look at it. Have you ever looked at this passage and went, man, Paul's kind of brazen there. He's a little bold to be able to say that. And, you know, that's good for Paul, but no, Paul is your pattern. You ought to be able to look back and say, I've got something. And look what he said. He said, how does he know that he's got a crown? Because, verse 7, I fought a good fight. Now, can you look back in your life and say, I fought a good fight? I didn't say, and Paul didn't say, I won all the battles. You won't win all the battles. Man, you are not going to win all the battles. But have you struggled? Have you put up a fight? And Judah was just finished his baseball season, and they had a game, the very last game of the year, and their team was last place this year. Okay, this did happen. They were on a good team. He was on a good team last year. This year, not so much. And when they go into a tournament, they put the last place team with the first place team, right? And that's just how they do it at the tournament. They're just mean to kids that way. So Judah's last place team fighting against the first place team. And they played them all the way to the very last inning. They lost. They lost by one run. And they were so excited. I was so excited. The parents were excited. The kids were excited. Why? Because, man, they put up a fight against this team where the parents had been taking their kids to the batting cages every single day. Our kids just run out there and play, you know? This is like some professional team going to the World Series, and we almost beat them. That's pretty good. Now, you know what that means? Now, I'm not talking about participation trophies. And I'm not talking about, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. And I'm not talking about all that stuff. I'm saying Paul never said, I won. He said, I fought. And you can look back on your Christian life and say, I lost, I lost, I lost, I lost, I lost. I fought. I fought, I fought, I fought, I fought. You know that thing that we say, and it's true, there's a white dog and a black dog, there's the spirit and there's the flesh, and who's going to win? Whoever you feed the most? That's true, isn't it? It's true. Mostly it's true. Mostly. But can we have a little nuance to this tonight? Your flesh is going to win no matter how much you feed the spirit sometimes. Sometimes your flesh gets in a cheap shot, doesn't it? It doesn't fight fair. Sometimes a hungry dog bites the other dog in the leg, even though it hasn't been fed. Sometimes the more you starve a hungry dog, the harder he fights. Amen? Y'all found this out about your flesh? You starve the flesh and find out he's not getting weaker, he's getting more fierce. So you got to be careful with this. This is a good and a true principle. But that doesn't mean you can win every single fight. But I'm not telling you not to fight. I'm saying, are you fighting? Are you struggling against sin? Are you struggling to walk with God? Are you struggling against the world? Are you struggling against the devil? Or are you just kind of laying down? If you're just, if you look back on your life and you say, I'm not even fighting, then you have a problem. And I'm not sitting here saying, the Lord's just going to give you a participation trophy. He's not. You'll get nothing at the judgment seat of Christ if you don't put up a fight. But if you can look back on the last 10 years of your Christian life and say, I can see it, okay. If it was somebody else, they'd look at me and say, maybe I'm a harsh judge on myself, but somebody else would look at it and say, I have been struggling against the world. Folks, those are rewards for your sake. It's the judgment seat of Christ. Henceforth, there's laid up for you a crown of righteousness because you fought a good fight. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to accept for yourself. It's hard when someone wants to give you something to accept it. It's hard when someone wants to give you a reward that you think you don't deserve. And that's what's going on. And the truth of the matter is we don't deserve it. I'll jump ahead just a little bit and say it has nothing to do with us. Look at verse number 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. This is not about pride and saying, look at how good a fighter I am. No, Paul very specifically said in the very same passage, verse number 17, if I've won any fights or if I fought at all, it's because the Lord gave me strength. So we've got to be careful not to say this in pride. We've got to be careful to give the credit where the credit's due. And this is why when you get that reward, the judgment seat of Christ, it will go back to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be able to give it back to the Lord and say, Lord, this is yours. Because he's the one that strengthened you for the fight. If you look back in your life, you can't puff yourself up and say, well, I did fight. I'm a good fighter. I fought this and I fought that. No. You didn't. A good rule of thumb is to say, if I've done anything good, it was God. Amen. And if I look back and see anything bad, that was me. But don't look back and say, I'm just a miserable wreck and I've done nothing right. I'm lower than whale poop in the bottom of the ocean, as preacher said, right? Because then we're not giving a real account to the rewards that the Lord Jesus Christ has for you. And that's going to mess you up. And I'll show you why at the end of the message, why that messes you up, that it'll mess you up. Have you fought? Have you, 2 Timothy 2, you don't have to turn there, have you endured hardness as a good soldier? Has there been hardness in your life that you have gone through? And now you're on the other side of it because the Lord Jesus Christ somehow gave you the grace and the strength to get through it. That's enduring hardness. That's being a good soldier. Have you fought lawfully? 2 Timothy 2 says you've got to strive lawfully. You can't just go out there and fight and just do, your own way and lie and cheat and steal your way through to get where you are. Have you fought lawfully? That's fighting. That's fighting a good fight. And Ephesians 6, it says stand therefore. It talks about the whole armor of God. It says stand therefore. Have you taken a stand for Jesus Christ? Can you look back in your life and say, yeah, I did. I guess I did take a stand here. I guess I did. Guess what? That's fighting the good fight for Jesus Christ. That's it. I told you, never been a more difficult, encouraging message that there is. Because it's hard to take. But you ought to be able to look back and say, I didn't win every battle, but I did struggle against it. Look at verse number 7 again. It says, I finished my course. Fought a good fight, and I finished my course, he says. So don't just consider the struggle, but consider your service for God. Consider your service for the Lord. He says, I finished my course. I've done what God wants me to do. Not everyone's course is the same. So the problem is, and the struggle comes in, when you start looking at other people and comparing your course to everybody else's course, and you say, man, I haven't done anything for God, because look at brother so-and-so, or look at sister so-and-so. You're not running their course. Amen. You're running your course. You know, there's maybe some kids that are in school that just finished up all honors programs. And there's other kids that just barely passed their standard classes, but both of them finished their course. And that's what he said. He didn't say, I finished, you know, the AP advanced honors, all, you know, that he said, I finished my course. And you know what? The course that Brother Woodard has is different than the course that he has for me. It's very possible that he finishes his course, and I finish my course, and they look completely different. Amen. And it's also possible if I start comparing myself to him, I say, well, God, why is it that, I think my phone's going off here. Sorry about that. I've got it on for the clock's sake. I'll turn it off next time. It's very possible for me to look at Brother Woodard and say, Lord, why is it that you've got him doing it? Look at all this work he's doing out there. This real clear example. Oh, why you got him doing all this work? And I'm just looking at it. I'm not doing anything. I can't even swing a hammer. Look at all you're giving him to do. It's possible he's looking at me going, well, Lord, you're giving him a youth camp to do. How is it? All I'm doing is building a building. He's doing a youth camp. See what I mean? You can compare yourselves among yourselves. Measure yourselves amongst yourselves. And think, I'm not getting anything done for God. At the same time, me saying, man, Brother Woodard's doing running laps around me. And Brother Woodard's saying, he's running laps around me. And we're both doing what God wants us to do. And God's saying, you're both on your own course. But it's a different course. Brother Woodard is in AP and I'm in standard classes. That's okay. It's all right. The Lord knows your frame. And he knows what we can do and what we can't do. And he's got a course just for you. So, look back on your life and say, you might just surprise yourself and say, you know what, I am doing what God wants me to do. How about that? I am running my course. Maybe it looks like this. Maybe there's, like preacher says, it's drawing all outside the line, but you know, if you look back and squint, I'm on course. And maybe you're not going to get every single reward that you could have gotten, and probably won't get every single reward that you could have gotten had you run it perfectly. But you will get rewards for running your course. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, is absolutely right. Look at verse number 7. I have kept the faith. So consider the struggle that you've had. Consider the service that you've done. And consider the stewardship that you have. He says, I have kept the faith. This is a stewardship. This is a trust that has been placed in your hands. The Bible doesn't say it's required among stewards that a man be found successful. It says it's required among stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. Now, God has placed some certain things in your trust. You know one thing that he's placed in my trust? The King James Bible. Amen. This book right here. He placed it in my trust. Just a kid from Mandarin. He gave it to me, the KJV 1611. And he said, I'm placing this in your trust. You know what's my job to do? Not to write a bunch of books and defend it, but it's my job not to change it when I get to the pulpit. It's my job not to say what I want it to say when I get to the pulpit. It's my job to keep that which is committed to my trust and to be faithful with what God's given me. And maybe I'll probably never be Dr. Ruttman when it comes to the King James Bible. But I can keep what he's given me. Amen. So what has God given you to keep? God's given you maybe a family to keep. He's given you maybe a testimony to keep. He's given you maybe a witness to keep. He's given you a Bible to keep. He's given you a doctrine to keep. He's given you kids to keep, a wife to keep. He's given you, what has he given you to keep? Have you, look back in your life. Have you kept that which is committed to your trust? And if so, you can say, how about that? I'm going to get some rewards after all. Amen?
Amen.
See, y'all don't even want to say amen to it. That's fine. That's fine. It's a lot to take in one night. It really is. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. So that's what it is. He gives broad strokes here. He says, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. That's what you can look back on and say, have I fought a good fight? Have I finished my course? Have I kept the faith? And you say, well, Brother Sam, I don't know if I have. This is not the end of my life. You don't know that. Maybe it is. I could walk out of here tonight and this be the last sermon I ever preach. The last night I ever live. What I'm saying is you can look back on your life as right now and say, if this is the time of my departure, have I kept the faith up to this point? Have I fought a good fight up to this point? Have I finished my course up to this point? Now, what that means is what it's not is a promise for the future.
Amen.
It's not a promise for the future. It's not a prediction. It's not a point of pride. We already talked about that. This is the Lord that does this in you, not yourself. But it's not a prediction for the future. Preacher just got done preaching on Uzziah. And Uzziah did a great job when he was a young man. But when he was old and his heart was lifted up, his heart was lifted up in pride. He thought that he was strong, and he thought he could do things on his own that he could not do. And he died away from God as a result of it. It's not a prediction that you're going to, that you can just, I've got rewards, I can just take my ease. You can't take your ease. Look over at 2 John, the book of 2 John. And I'll use this to say, if you think that no one's going to get rewards or you're not going to get rewards, then why is it in 2 John verse 8, he says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Somebody's getting rewards. And it's not evident that just because you are here right now and I am here right now at 40 years old and you may be able through this sermon to look back and say, I do have some rewards. It's not evident that you're actually going to receive those when you get before Jesus Christ. Because as long as you are still breathing, you have an opportunity to lose those things that you have wrought. I could mess this whole thing up, lose my testimony, lose my joy, lose my fellowship with Jesus Christ, lose my health, and burn up the rewards that I've worked for all this time, and stand before Jesus Christ and say, Lord, you have me preach that sermon about how we've got rewards. And he said, well, you did when you were 40, but you spent the next 10 years living for yourself and burning them all up, ruining everything that you had built so far. You see it? It's not a prediction of the future. You can't take this message and say, I can take my ease. You know, you look backwards and say, I have a good stock of what God has given me so far. And you look forward with reverence and godly fear and say, the only reason that I've got any of this is because God graciously helped me and strengthened me, and the only way I'm going to make it in the future is by humbly submitting to God and continuing to live for God. You can't change what got you here and just throw your hands back in the easy, throw your legs up in the easy chair and say, I've arrived, I've got the rewards, Brother Sam told me so. No. That's a good way to get them all burned up. You've got to look at the sobriety that got you here. You've got to look at the struggle that got you here and the service that got you here and say, I am not going to finish my course unless I continue in the things that I've learned and been assured of. Continue in the things that God has had for me. You say, well, this took a bad turn pretty quickly. Well, I'm trying to show you both sides of this coin. If you only look forward with sobriety and trembling hands and look back and say, I've won nothing in this fight, then when you look forward, you'll be in despair. Now let me say that again. One of the reasons it's so important to be able to take stock of what's in the past is not so you can take your ease and say, I've got it made. Or not so you can have pride and say, look what I did for myself. It's not even because you say, I did it all perfect. Paul said, I have not attained. He said, I pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, not as though I've apprehended. It's not to look back and say, I've arrived. It's to be able to look forward and have a little bit of hope and say, you know what? God has got me thus far. And if He's got me thus far, and I've got something to show for it. That ought to give you some hope going forward to say, if I can just keep my head down and just keep in the things that God has told me, then I've got hope that I can end with rewards. But folks, if you tell me, Brother Sam, you know, all this labor that you've done up to this point, all this walking with God up to this point, you probably got a fleck of gold dust. Then I'm going to look at the next 20 years of my life and say, if I tried this hard to get here and got nothing to show for it, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do any better in 20 years from now. Do y'all see what I'm saying? Are you with me there? This is about hope. You see, Timothy is writing to a young man here. Or Paul's writing to a young Timothy here. He's saying to Timothy, this is what I've got laid up for me. This is an old man passing off the scene. Can you imagine if the old man passing off the scene had told Timothy, I'm going to see Jesus Christ and pray for me because I'm going to get it all burned up when I get there. What do you think Timothy would have thought if he saw Paul, the apostle, and said, you know what he would have thought? If Paul can't do it, I got no chance. And you'll say the same thing about yourself. If you look back and say, I did everything I knew how to do and still got nothing to show for it, I've got no chance. That's called despair. It's throwing in the towel. It's trying as hard as you can and being told, you probably got nothing to show for it. Or telling yourself, I got nothing to show for it. You can't do that. We're talking about hope. The reason you have to know the value of your past work, your past life with Jesus Christ. Folks, the next generation, look back over at 2 Timothy chapter 4. These young people in here need to know that if they struggle, there's rewards for it. There's not ashes and dust to show for it. If they struggle, there's rewards for it. If you fight against sin, if you sacrifice, there's rewards for it, young people. It's not a gold, it's more than you can imagine. Jesus Christ, like preacher just said, wants to reward you. He doesn't want to punish you and burn up everything. He's not up there waiting to pull out the fine print. Amen. You know, every single word in this book is the same size. There's no fine print in it. Y'all remember that movie Willy Wonka? This is the second time I've used the Willy Wonka illustration in 2 weeks. I don't know what's going on. I got to watch that movie or something. The old movie Willy Wonka, right? At the beginning of the movie, he makes them all sign a document, and it's got all this big text at the top, and it gets smaller and smaller as it goes to the bottom. He says, I'll sign here. And at the end of the movie, all the kids have died. He's murdered all of them. That's how it goes in the movie. I don't know why. He's murdered all these kids. We just thought it was okay. Killed every one of them. Burned them in a furnace, exploded them as a blueberry. It's a terrible movie. That's how our parents used to teach us to be good. Be good or we'll throw you in the furnace. So anyway, scars my memory still to this day. But I'm not chewing gum while I'm, not chewing too much gum or watching too much TV, that's for sure. All right, anyway, so where was I going? I don't even remember where I'm going. Okay, the fine print. Charlie gets to the very end and gets to the office with the Willy Wonka in there. Do y'all remember this movie? Maybe not. So he gets to the end, gets to the office, and he says, do I get my lifetime supply of chocolate? I made it. I made it through the gauntlet. I didn't get killed. Can I get my lifetime supply of chocolate? And Willy Wonka says, no, you can't. What are you talking about? He says, you broke the rules. He says, and he pulls out the fine print. And he says, right here, on line so-and-so, word so-and-so, you drank the fizzy lifting drink. Y'all, this is bringing back to your childhood. And it took you to the top, and now we have to scrub down that entire thing. So you get nothing, he says. Nothing. I'm having fun. I don't know why I'm having to enjoy this. He says, you get nothing. And you know what the dad and the son say? He says, you know what? You're a jerk. How could you do that to a boy? Get his hopes all up and then dash him like that? Folks, listen. God is not going to do that to us when we get there. He's not going to get up there and say, you didn't read the font. Yes, you worked for me your whole life and you did the best you could, but you didn't see this thing. You didn't do it this way, so you get nothing. But isn't that kind of how we feel about it sometimes? Like, I'm walking this fine line, and if I fall off, there goes 10 years of work. It's tough. Oh, I know it's tough. I know it is. But that's not how God is. That's not how Jesus Christ is. Paul, if he had said, you know, remember that time that I disobeyed the Lord in what he told me to do about Rome, in Jerusalem, rather, and I'd burn up everything there. And I'm going to get nothing because I disobeyed the Lord that time. No. He paid for it. It's why a lot of your books are written from prison instead of from someone's house, the comfort of someone's house. He paid for it. You'll pay for it. You'll pay for sins. Don't get me wrong. But the Lord is not trying to burn up everything for your errors, for your sins, for your mistakes, for when you tried and failed, or when you just sometimes didn't try. You'll pay for it. But God is not up there trying to exact every last piece out of you. The Bible says he exacteth of us less than our iniquities deserve. And you'll find a judge, you'll find a righteous judge. But if we get anything at all, it'll be because he's a gracious judge and a merciful judge. So I have a question for you, Christian. Is he merciful or is he not merciful? We can't tell our kids that there's no hope for them. And that no matter how much they try and serve the Lord, they're going to get nothing in the judgment seat of Christ. But that's what we tell them when we make these statements. When we say things like, well, I just hope I get a little piece of gold dust. For me, it's going to be dust and ashes when I get... When we make these statements within the earshot of our kids, we're telling them, there's no hope for you. Because they're looking at us saying, you're the best Christian I know. We know better. Right? But they don't know better. They're looking at us saying, if I got in that Sunday school classroom over there and said, man, I'm just expecting to get up to the judgment seat of Christ and get nothing, those kids over there, they would look up and they'd say, boom, Brother Sam, you're a Sunday school teacher. You're going to get nothing? And they'd close their Bibles and say, I'm going to go have fun while I can. Because there's no hope for for pleasing the Lord. I can't please this God. We gotta, as Paul gave Timothy hope, we gotta give our young people hope. Amen. And it's easy to say, I want to give my kids hope, but can you give yourself some hope too? That's harder. Not only do your kids need hope and the kids in this church need hope, but you need some hope for the future. You need to know that you can actually get some rewards. Not for perfection, not for pride, but you struggle and you fight and you serve the Lord and you can get some rewards. It's possible. You need that hope. You need to, you know, the Bible says that when Jesus Christ comes back, it says everyone that has this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. And in order to hope for the appearing of Jesus Christ and love the appearing of Jesus Christ, you need to know that you've got something to look forward to. There's a lot of people that when they see, a lot of Christians, when they see Jesus Christ, they're not going to be happy. They're not going to love his appearing. That's what this crown is for loving his appearing. But, folks, let me ask you a question. If you saw him tonight, would you love his appearing? Many of you will say yes. Some of you will say, no, I haven't been living right, and I do have ashes to show for it. But I'm talking to the ones tonight that are afflicted, that need comfort, not the comfortable that need affliction. Talking to the ones that would say, I would love to see the Lord tonight. The only way you can do that is if you know you've got something up there to be able to lay at His feet. And if you don't, you're not going to love His appearing. And last but not least here, you need this. You need a good stock of your life for guidance in your future work for the Lord. You've got to know, as it said over in 2 John, you've got to know that you've got some rewards that you can lose. You better know you've got something that's of value, that you can lose if you're not careful. I went out in the garage a little while ago and saw this stroller. It's a real old-fashioned looking stroller. To me, it just looked old. My wife is getting upset. Just think her ears are turning red just thinking about this stroller. I cleaned out the garage one day, and I took this stroller and I threw it in the trash. I didn't ask her about it. Some of the husbands that are older than me are like, yeah, that was a rookie mistake right there, buddy. Ask her before you throw something away, brother. Marriage advice, that's the only marriage advice I'll give you. Ask her before you throw something away. It was one of those old-fashioned looking strollers. It looked like garbage. It just looked like trash. I threw it away, and Tara said, I got that for photos I'm doing with kids. She said, that thing is worth $1,200. It was one of those, she's saying it was worth $2,000. I know it was worth $1,200 because I looked it up trying to buy a new one. I couldn't find one for less than $1,200. It's one of those old-fashioned ones they use. You see them, they look like that, you know, and they got the big wheels in the front and the back. What are they called? Pram. Pram, that's it. Thank you. It was a pram. It wasn't a stroller. It was a pram. Men are like, what? And ladies are like, ooh, you threw a pram away? You're like, where did you live for the next month? Is it wanted at home? He threw a pram. Yes, it was something that she had found, and I threw it away. You know why? Because I just didn't know how valuable it was. And it's very easy. The devil comes to you and says, hey, and tempts you with something. If you don't know how valuable it is, that with the stuff that you have to lose, if you partake in that, then you'll throw it all away, not realizing what you're throwing away. Young people, you'll throw away your testimony, not realizing what that testimony is worth. You'll throw away the work that you've done for the Lord, not realizing the value of the work that you've done for God. You've got to know the value of this before you just throw it away. It'll help you in your temptation. There have been times in my life, and I'm sure in your life as well, where you're tempted to walk away from God, and the thing that kept you is looking back and going, I'm too old to walk away from the Lord. I've got, as that song says, too much to gain to lose. I'm not turning back now. I'm not throwing all of this away for that. I'm not doing that. God's given me some amazing stuff. And if you have the proper value of it, it will keep you where you're supposed to be. You can learn from your victories, not just your failures. We're almost done here. You learn from your victories. You know, we all say, I went to the school of hard knocks. I'm learning from my failures. You can also learn from your victories. Look back and say, how did I get some of these rewards for the Lord? And learn and see, okay, that's what it feels like. I don't play golf, but when I tried to play golf a little bit, preacher tried to teach me how to a golf swing. He's a good golfer, even though he doesn't get to play anymore. But he taught me how to swing a golf club, and he would get me out on the driving range and say, hit it. And I'd swing a few times, and then, you know, hitting it over here and over there. And then finally hit one flush. And just right down the middle of the driveway, the fairway, and the driving range. And you know what he would say to me? He would say, did you feel that? That's how it's supposed to feel like. In other words, it wasn't just, that was wrong, this is wrong, that was wrong, this is wrong. It was, that was right. That's the way it's supposed to feel when you get it right. So can you think about that? Christian, you can look back on your life. And there's got to be times when you say, you know what? That was right. That's how it's supposed to feel when it's right. It'll help you to learn how to do it again in the future. So think back on it. What have you done that's right? Do more of that. That's it. You can learn from winning, not just failing. piece of jewelry from the Antiques Roadshow that I talked about at the beginning is worth almost $50,000, somewhere, you know, $38,000, $50,000. The lady had it in her drawer, and the reason she had it in her drawer is because she had bought it at a garage sale. You know how much she bought it for at the garage sale? $4.99. She bought it for $5. A almost $50,000 brooch. She bought it for $5. Now, could you imagine being the person who sold that? Who was watching Antiques Roadshow years later and going, "That's my mom's brooch. I thought it was costume jewelry. I sold that to her for $5. You see, I want you to look back and say what you've done for the Lord so far is not costume jewelry. It is extremely valuable. I don't want you to get to heaven and say, "I didn't even realize that I was getting rewarded for all that. I thought it was all just dust and ashes." The Lord says, no, you need to take account of what you've got. It'll help you know not to sell it for less than it's worth, which is eternal. It'll help you get a good stock of the rewards that you've got so far and what God wants to give you at the judgment seat of Christ so that you have the right value on it in your Christian life. It'll keep you centered. It'll keep you grounded in Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and pray. We'll close in prayer there. And Brother Woodard, would you close us in prayer, please, sir?